sure as God made green apples, someday the Chicago Cubs are going to be in a World Series. And maybe sooner than we think.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play.
What's going on, Cubs fans? You are listening to Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Sean Sears, and on today's episode, we are joined by my friend Nick Shepkowski. He's an executive producer for 670 to Score for the McNeil and Parkin Show, the afternoon show on 670 to Score. He does pregame for the Notre Dame Show for Radio.com. He's also the managing editor for the Fighting Irish Wire, part of USA Today's College Football Wire Network. And of course, Nick is a diehard Cubs fan. I say all that at the beginning of my interview, but it's hard to see or hear because there's a train in the background. Red as Nick gets on the phone call with me. So I'm repeating that again so people hear it. But I wanted to shout out Nick. He's been one of the nicer guys, a guy that I've been friends with for a little while, and one of the bigger reasons I've been able to do some of the things I've been able to do with my career. So it was great to talk with Nick. He just became a dad recently on Halloween. He's obviously a huge, huge, huge Cubs fan, but even a bigger Notre Dame fan, covering, you know, everything for their Fighting Irish Wire site for USA Today. So we talk about Notre Dame, we talk about what it's like being a dad, we kind of discuss some of the major gripes he has for this 2020 MLB season proposal, as well as what he was doing when AJ Pierzynski and Michael Barrett collided at home plate 14 years from the day that we spoke, which was last week. So it was great. And then ultimately we talked about The Last Dance, just kind of get Shep's take on everything here. It's always nice to talk with Nick. We sat down for about 20 minutes and caught up a little bit. It was nice. So I hope you guys like it. Of course, this episode of Locked On Cubs is brought to you in partnership by CubsInsider.com. They are an official partner of Locked On Cubs, but head to CubsInsider.com to check out the latest proposal that Evan Altman wrote up here today. Apparently, players and MLB itself, owners, are coming close to an agreement. It sounds like they've agreed to, you know, some type of compromise on the financials, and there should be an announcement coming, and hopefully a season imminently, according to Cubs Insider. So read all that and more at CubsInsider.com, official partner of Locked On Cubs. Make sure you're following Locked On Cubs on Twitter at Locked On Cubs, and make sure you subscribe to the podcast on whatever app you use, whether that's Google, Apple, Spotify, TuneIn app, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Himalaya, wherever you listen to your podcast. Make sure you subscribe and leave a 5-star review. But with that, let's jump into this interview with Nick Shepkowski. All right, Cubs fans, we are joined by Nick Shepkowski. He's the executive producer of the McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score. He is the host of Notre Dame Pregame for Radio.com, managing editor for Fighting Irish Wire, part of the USA Today, and then, of course, a diehard Cubs fan. What's up, Nick?
Nothing. What's going on? I guess that's, I don't know if it's, I'm like the utility infielder, and I play every spot or every position or what, but thanks for the kind intro.
Yeah, you're so welcome, man. No, I've been reading a bunch of your work at the Irish Wire. It's been fun, man. It's cool to, because I know obviously like you'll produce and whatnot, but you didn't write a ton at 670 or whatnot here and there, so it's cool to get your thoughts and stuff. So I like reading you.
Well, I appreciate that, and I try to throw a little twist on it and not take anything overly seriously like some do, but we have our fun with it, and hopefully it continues to grow.
Definitely. Well, hopefully we can see some football happen this year, but we'll see. But obviously, you can follow Nick. I didn't say this. You can follow Nick on Twitter at Nick Shepkowski on Twitter. And then I think it's just Irish Wire, and or it's Wire ND or something like that for your blog page, right? I'll fix this.
Yes. Yeah. Irish Wire ND. Yes.
That's what it is. Irish Wire ND. Cool. Alrighty. I'll tag that in later. But okay. Obviously you just became a dad. I think it was Peyton came on, was it Halloween night?
Yes. Yeah. Quite the change the holiday forever when
right?
that happens. different type of trick or treating this year. I know everyone else was dealing with the snow and dealing with all that. And I was standing there in the labor room next to my wife watching our little bundle of joy show up. So I don't know. Halloween has automatically turned into my favorite holiday all of a sudden.
Right. That's awesome, man. How have things been now being a dad? Has it, I'm sure it's changed everything, but how's it been now being home, being a dad now?
I have a new appreciation for what stay-at-home parents do, have a new appreciation for what nannies do, have a new appreciation for what daycares do, what grandmas and grandpas do that help out. It's a nonstop job. There's no doubt about that part of it. And it feels like the work, actually working from home, sometimes the workload feels like it's doubled because of her, but wouldn't have it any other way.
Of course. Well, obviously the baseball season's trying to get kicked off. We've kind of seen the proposal go out. Players have reacted to it. We're seeing more and more details come out. They haven't really talked money much now since they kind of brought it up to begin with. But with this proposal out here, what's been your biggest gripe with everything so far? Is there something that's really like bothering you with this plan? Obviously, like, we want players to get paid, but like, is there something that's going to change for this year that you're really kind of worried about?
I think like two things that I look at that I'm most interested in or troubled by are, one, the owner's crying poor and they're trying to finagle money and maneuver money and maneuver different lines to tell you that they can't afford this, can't afford that. Why aren't baseball owners ever allowed to take a loss on something? You own a business, you're willing to take a loss if you take on that business. I mean, if I own a business, same thing. If I own a restaurant, if I own a bar, if I own a store of whatever kind of store it might be, a hardware store, whatever, like, you're willing to take on the potential of having a loss. It's like these owners, I don't know. I have trouble rooting for the billionaires when they're fighting with millionaires, and I get it. It's you're too financial groups that are fighting, that are in the 1%, if you will. And right. It's troublesome for me when you look at it, the owner's perspective of it, of, oh, well, now we can't afford to pay you this way because there's not going to be fans in the stands. I mean, you look at baseball, how much of their money is made off of their advanced media and mm-hmm. as well as their TV contracts. It's like, don't cry poor. You might only make however many millions instead of hundreds of millions this year, give up a little bit. And it's just, I have trouble feeling bad for baseball owners ever.
Yeah.
And this is just a stronger case of that.
Yeah, that's I think I can echo that sentiment for sure. Baseball owners are just, you know, greedy rich guys at this point. And it's, I get what's going on right now is serious. And, you know, no matter what, like, no one's really going to be making a ton of money out of here. Like, they're just going to come out at a loss. But like you said, exactly, like, it's kind of ridiculous to ask the players to assume risk and take a loss so they can not, you know, hurt their pockets, like, stay at, you know, what their expected costs are, or whatever it may be. So it's you know, definitely deflates the feeling of baseball. But then you, like, look at this season and, like, you know, it's going to be maybe 82 games. Players are going to be stuck in hotel rooms for the majority of it. Like, they're probably not going to get paid the amount of money they're expected to or probably worth. And then it's like, hey, you know, who's excited to go play baseball at that point? So it just makes me worry about the quality of baseball.
Well, and also I think it takes away a lot of the fun elements. Think about it. If you're being discouraged from having high fives, I mean, even just something as simple as spitting sunflower seeds, as harmless as that has been, oh, you can't do that this year. Can't give high fives to your teammates this year. Can't sit next to your buddies in the dugout this year. It just, it feels like a lot of the fun in it is being taken away. And I know it's all right. Well, it's baseball players. They get to play baseball for a living. Don't feel bad for them. That's part of the joy of it. You get to play a kid's game, and it feels like it's purely just being done for money, and that's the only reason that it would be done in this way, because it doesn't seem like it's, at least from afar, at least at this point, it doesn't feel like it's, like, really any semblance of what baseball has been for what you grew up watching, what I grew up watching. It just feels like it's so far off of that.
Yeah. It's going to definitely feel foreign, I think, no matter what, but you hope it, at the end of the day, you hope it's baseball, and you're kind of really wondering if that's how it's going to be. So I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens. I know we were talking about this a little bit before we got started, but today is the 14-year anniversary of Michael Barrett and AJ Preczynski's collision at home plate. I think I was 12 when that happened. I can remember where I was when that happened. But when you think of that collision, what's something that pops up in your head?
I was still a sophomore at North Central College then. It was the annual day of Spring Fest, which is a big day at North Central College each year. I don't know who was Everclear or what bad 90s band was playing that day in 2006, but I know that it was the day of Spring Fest. I know it happened to be the day that Barbro, the old racehorse, broke his foot in the Preakness. And I remember a very unsober self of me running around Spring Fest yelling, "Pray for Barbro." And also remember being at now the general manager of WONC, my college's campus radio station, Zach DeWitz. I was at his wedding that day when one AJ Preczynski got struck in the grill, as Ed Farmer put it, by Michael Barrett. And just one of the all-time, I mean, you talk about Cubs Sox moments, and that's the Cubs Sox rivalry for you right there. That is the biggest moment that I think everyone kind of looks to, of like, yep, that was, it doesn't get any bigger than that. It doesn't get any better than that. Cubs were a last place awful team in 06. Sox are coming off of a World Series and we're great. And it escalates with that.
Yeah, that was I remember just getting raked against the coals by every White Sox fan I knew. I remember kids were calling my house, being like, "Oh, are you watching this?" Yes, I'm watching this. Yeah, I'm upset.
Of course.
AJ Preczynski sucks. I hate him.
ultimate guy that you love him if he's on your team, but you despise him if you're a fan of any of the 29 others.
Definitely. Yeah. He's got the Joakim Noah effect for sure. But it was probably the AJ Preczynski effect before Joakim Noah came in, but I guess I'm dating myself.
What's going on, Locked On fans? I am Sean Sears. I'm the host of Locked On Cubs, and I'm talking to you today about Built Bar. They are actually one of the most tasty protein bars I've ever had in my life. I am actually a former track runner, and I'm actually pretty familiar with a lot of different protein bars, and I can honestly say I've never had a protein bar that tastes this good. I'm actually eating one right now for breakfast. It is, so you can hear the wrapper here, Mint Brownie Delight. It's really good. It kind of tastes like a thin mint. They're awesome, though. Best tasting protein bars I've ever had. But not only that, they are one of the most healthy bars ever. They've got 20 grams of protein, which is pretty standard for most protein bars. But what's crazy is it's only 170 calories, 3 grams of sugar, 3 grams of net carbs, 15 grams of protein, and particularly this Mint Brownie bar that I'm eating right now. It's awesome. I used to have it with power bars, chunky bits, and grains is what it feels like sometimes, and having to drink that down to get that aftertaste out of your mouth. That doesn't happen with these are delicious. The only issue I have with them is I'm trying not to eat them all because I don't want to ingest 60 grams of protein from eating 3 or 4 of these bars. But they are awesome, perfect for workouts, perfect for post pre-workout type stuff. Check them out right now. If you head to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON and save yourself $10 off your first order. Once again, that's LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Save yourself $10 off at builtbar.com. Some of the best tasting bars on the market. Compare them to Clif Bars. I'll tell you right now, they are healthier, better tasting, and ultimately, I just think a better bar. So check it out, builtbar.com. This podcast is sponsored by the audiobook edition of 24 Life Stories and Lessons from the Say Hey Kid. In this reflection and inspirational memoir, the legendary Willie Mays shares the inspirations and influences responsible for guiding him on and off the field. Widely regarded as the greatest all-around player in baseball history, the beloved Willie Mays offers people of all ages his lifetime of experience meeting challenges with positivity, integrity, and triumph. The special audiobook production includes a foreword read by Bob Costas and a bonus conversation with Willie Mays and the co-author, John Shea. Whether you miss seeing your favorite player on the field this season or are looking for the perfect Father's Day gift, 24 is the inspiring story of one of the sports fans' favorite living legends. Buy the audiobook edition of 24 now, wherever audiobooks are sold.
You're contributing a ton with the Notre Dame football content and I guess sports content too as well, but what's with this upcoming season? I really haven't paid much attention to the Fighting Irish, I feel like, since
gosh, I can't even remember the quarter. Everett Golson, no, Everett Goldman or something like that? What's it? I forget the
Everett
quarterback.
Everett Golson, yeah.
Everett Golson, that's what it was. I feel like that was the last time I really paid attention to Notre Dame football, but I haven't really come back to it since. But I guess what's Brian Kelly got cooking for this year?
Well, it should be a team that I think it's kind of you're in that middle ground again. You're in good shape, but you're not in great shape. If you're in great shape, you're Clemson. If you're in great shape, you're in Alabama. You're LSU, which you're coming off of last year, and setting a record for a number of first-round draft picks or overall draft picks with 14 of them this year. But you're in a good spot, and that's kind of where I think a lot of Notre Dame fans are torn on all this, is because you see it on one hand, and it's, all right, yeah, it's the best records, and it's only the second time in school history they've gone 3 years in a row with 10 or more wins. And that part's phenomenal. That part's great. That part's exciting. But then you factor in, well, they lost to their two biggest opponents last year in Michigan and in Georgia in the Cotton Bowl in the college football playoff 2 years ago. They get run off the track by Clemson. National championship against Alabama. They get run out of the building by them. And they have these marquee opponents, these marquee games, and they just haven't been able to deliver a standout performance in those. They've been close a couple of times. Florida State in 14 with your guy Everett Golson. That comes to mind. They've had other ones. They have the Florida State one. The Georgia one last year comes down to the final minutes, but it's just they can't execute it. They haven't been able to get a big win in one of these games really since Oklahoma in 2012. So it's a very good program, but you don't have that marquee win here in recent years, and you're still kind of waiting for it.
Yeah, definitely. Man, that's crazy. I hadn't even thought about it yet. 2012 was probably the last time they did win a bowl game. That's insane. Especially think it's Notre Dame, you know, like you used to do it all the time. I mean, they're getting these games. It'd be cool to see them win, but I don't know. I'm excited for this year. I'm going to try and pay attention, actually. I don't know why. I always get drifted off of college football. I don't know what it is.
I think, honestly, maybe it's a better way of determining a champion, but I do think the college football playoff has turned off people from the regular season. And I think it's turned off a lot of people that used to look at it and say, all right, well, even if you're not going to the BCS championship, you got a lot to play for, BCS game or marquee bowl game. And now it's college football playoff or bust. If it's a bust, it's a bowl game that now I'm seeing. I'm not going to knock any player that doesn't just decides not to play in them, but it doesn't mean anything, and it gets treated that way.
Right, exactly. There's nothing really at stake at that point sometimes, but, you know, I don't know. At least, like, I mean, the college football playoff has been really awesome. I will say that. So, like, that part, like, those games have been insane for the championship. So,
when you get to the championship, it's great. But really, the path to get there just leaves a lot to be desired as well.
Yeah, definitely. A couple last questions here before I let you go, Nick. I know you and Rick Camp are doing you guys were doing, like, recap episodes after The Last Dance, right?
Oh, yeah, we did one of those. You watched that?
I tuned in for a little bit of it. I checked it out for a sec. I can't say I watched it, but I checked in for a sec.
Okay.
But I obviously
better than
I mean,
nothing. At least you're honest.
Yeah. I can't. I don't want to act like I'm a huge fan or anything, you know. But no, obviously The Last Dance was awesome. These last couple Sundays have been great to just kind of recap some of this for like someone like me. Like I think I was 7 when in 98 when they won, so like that's like probably the only year I kind of remember, so it was kind of cool going back. But for someone like you, like this was like childhood for you, right? Like how awesome was it to go back and watch this?
Well, it's insane because I don't know, I was 12 when the Bulls won their last title in 98, and like obviously everyone's a Jordan fan when you're a kid, and everyone loves and eats and sleeps and everything Bulls, especially when you're a young boy growing up in Chicagoland. I found it refreshing or at least interesting to relive some of the drama that was around it of, oh my God, there almost wasn't a great Bulls team in 98 because after they won in 97, Jerry Krause wanted to tear it down. And ultimately that was decided against by Jerry Reinsdorf. But it's just a lot of the dramas that I think I heard somewhat of back then. They really were brought more to the attention, learned in more and greater detail a lot of that. So I found that part to be interesting. I remember getting so sick of Jerry Krause and so sick of Scottie Pippen actually at one point.
Yeah.
That when Jordan retired the first time, that coupled with the Knicks, I hated the New York Knicks more than anything. and I started rooting for Reggie Miller, and I became such a Reggie Miller fan that actually in the 98 Eastern Conference Finals, I found myself rooting for the Pacers because I wanted to see my favorite player slay the beast.
Reggie's a guy. I mean, dude, he's one of those guys where, like, I was talking with someone a couple of days ago about, you know, if he played in this day's era, like, God, he'd be shooting 10 threes a game. That guy would be incredible. I mean, he already was incredible, but just seeing him play in this modern era where, like, they're way more encouraged to shoot that three, just been really cool to watch a guy go like him go to work.
Yeah, it's just so weird if, like, you look back on numbers and, like, oh, wow, that guy hit 5 threes in a game. Is that really that impressive?
Right.
You go back, you watch the Jordan highlights in the 92 final against Portland. You're like, wow, he hit 6 threes in a game. Steph Curry hits that in a quarter anymore. Klay Thompson hits this in a quarter anymore. And it's just like, how much the game has changed here, even in just the most recent of years. It's absurd. And it really, I think that with basketball for me, what I find interesting is there's no question about it, no doubt about it. Athletes now, the players now are more talented. They're better than they were back then. But I find the product, because of the athleticism, it's like the court is smaller now. It's like you're watching giants on a smaller field. And back, and you kind of watch basketball and you see the highlights there in the 90s with all the Bulls throughout The Last Dance, or you watch some of the NBA TV and some of what they've been showing with a lot of the Lakers and Celtics history and their rivalry here in recent weeks and recent times. But you watch it from back in the 80s, you watch it back in the 90s, it's like that is a different game of basketball. And maybe the athletes aren't as great, but I find myself enjoying that brand of more, less one-on-one and more very creative and interesting offenses and schemes to run. I find that being a more interesting product, even if the athletes aren't as good.
Yeah, I honestly felt the same way too. Like, it was just great to see, like, it was just funny to see, like, guys, like, drinking beers like after a game, and they like they have a game the next day. Like, that was like surreal to me. And then we've got, you like fast forward
Michael
like 10
Jordan
years
having
from
a cigar everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, like literally. Yeah, oh my god, like you fast forward 10 years from now though, and like the Red Sox are getting yelled at for like drinking too much in their clubhouse. It's just like, what's going on? But yeah, I don't know, it was just it was just weird to see all that. But I agree, like, it, as awesome as it is to see like super freaks like a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo like go out there and do stuff, like, it's just like, it's like less relatable because like you're never ever going to be able to do the things that guy can do. But then also like, it just like, it's like, yeah, of course he can do that. Do you see this guy? Like, do you see all the workouts they're doing? Do you see like all the, like, you know, like the regimens they're on? Like, it's just a completely different environment now. And it's just, I don't know. It's less exciting because you expect that type of athleticism now. So I don't know. It was cool to go back and watch some of this stuff.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that part. It's just, it's a different game now. And obviously, like I said, the athletes are freaks now. Not that they weren't all more athletic than I'll ever be in my entire life back then. But it's just, whenever you grow up watching something, it's always better when you're a kid. Like when you watch it and your appreciation of it's just bigger than it is so much now. And it kind of felt like it took you back to childhood watching The Last Dance here the last few weeks on Sunday nights. It just kind of took you back to, oh, wow. Yeah, that used to be a thing. Playoff season would come around. April, May would come around, and there was nothing bigger than running to McDonald's and getting your Dennis Rodman cup with the hair that changed color, or the beef Wellington that McDonald's came off with there for a while, or getting your Gatorades and singing I Want to Be Like Mike in the driveway. Like, it brought back a lot of good memories. And maybe we didn't know the whole story of Jordan and some of the things going on with the Bulls back then, but it was cool to kind of relearn them and rewatch them with a different perspective, I guess, in our adult years over the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Definitely. Last question here for you, Nick. Obviously, it's going to be really hard to tell what the heck this Cubs season's going to produce. But I guess if a season does happen, what's something you're looking forward to, at least? Like, what's, like, the biggest thing you're looking forward to watching with this team?
I think it's a team where I think they benefit from a shorter season. I think that you look at it, and over the course of 162, I think it's a roster that has great flaws in it, bullpen being a significant one, depth and starting pitching being another. But I think that over the short term, that if you hit things right, that things could fall very positively for the Cubs. They still have a solid lineup. Can Kyle Schwarber do what he did in the second half of last year for, what, 82 games of the season might be? He turned a big corner last season, and he looked like a different player there the last 2-3 months of the year. So that's one part that I'd be excited for. But if it was the starting rotation going into a year of 162 games, I'd have a lot more questions. But the way it sits right now, okay, can you milk half of or what's traditionally half of a season out of John Lester? Can he perform at not ace level, but at quality number three-ish type level? Can you get that out of him for 3 months? Can you get that out of – can you get Kyle Hendricks to pitch more like 2016 as opposed to 2019-ish and get a little bit of boost there for a few months? Can Yu Darvish, who turned a corner last two and a half months last year, were outstanding. If he pitches that way, you're setting up for something potentially pretty special, even if it is a short year. And I think it's a roster that the way it's currently constructed, that I think it benefits greatly from what might happen in a shorter season, because I don't think it's built for a 6 month year.
Yeah, that's honestly a good way to look at it. Like a flawed team just given less opportunities to be flawed, you know?
Yeah. Catch lightning in a bottle a little bit. Yeah.
Right. And they've got the guys to do it. Like if Hobby goes on a hot streak, or even like Schwarber, if he plays like he did in the second half, like that's enough to sway a season right now with how tiny this is. So, but we'll have to see.
Yeah,
hopefully.
What I love about baseball. It's the ultimate sample size sport, and it's, you take away the sample size of it and it makes it more interesting. I don't think it necessarily makes it better, but it could certainly make it more compelling.
Yeah, it'll definitely be something interesting to watch with lack of options here. But Nick, I appreciate you taking the time, man. I'll let you go. I know you got a baby to take care of and all that, but I appreciate taking the time, man. Thanks again.
No worries, Sean. Anytime.
All right. Thanks again to Nick for taking the time. It's always fun to talk with Shep. You can follow him on Twitter at Nick Shepkowski. Shepkowski is very phonetic. Shepkowski. If you're not following Shep, you're doing yourself a disservice. Dude's funny. Very locked in on baseball season. Once that'll officially start, I'm sure he'll be really excited and tweeting a bunch of Cubs stuff. But obviously, any of the guys at 670 are fun to follow, so make sure you're checking that out. But it was nice talking with Shep. As always, guys, we appreciate you sticking around. More episodes coming later this week. We will be touching on the new proposal that I teased at the top of the show. Obviously, this podcast came out before that news, so Shep and I didn't discuss it too much. But we get his thoughts on the proposal, obviously. But that episode will be coming probably later this week with Ryan, as we'll try and break that down a little bit more. So. But with that is our episode. Appreciate you guys tuning in. We're getting closer and closer to baseball, so hopefully we'll have something concrete to talk about. But I know it's been a little bit of a drag with some of the content, so I appreciate you guys sticking around with me here. But I promise, once baseball season starts, we'll start being able to get more consistent, get a schedule going. And then we have some exciting stuff, including a partnership with Hot Mic. So we'll discuss more on that once the season's unveiled and we have more details. But you might be able to listen to me talk during a baseball game. I know everyone's loving that so much. But obviously, if you're not familiar with Hot Mic, very cool service. We'll explain more when it comes out. But it's definitely something we're excited about here with Lockdown. So, but with that, that's our episode. Thanks for sticking around, guys. Enjoy the rest of your week. I hope you enjoyed your Memorial Day weekend. Stick around for more Cubs content. And as always, go Cubs.